come up. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So, my presentation today, I'll be talking about research that we conducted out of the Center for Health Outcomes and Policy Research, looking at hospital occupancy levels on the day of admission for patients and all-cause mortality outcomes. And the impetus for this investigation was the IOM's report on hospital-based emergency care and some of the systemic effects that inefficient use of hospital beds and hospital staffing resources have kind of throughout the system, resulting in crowding and boarding in emergency rooms, delayed access to care, and then ultimately potentially ambulance diversions and other community-related outcomes that might impact quality. So my research question was looking in Pennsylvania data, what was the effect of hospital occupancy on the day of admission on all-cause mortality? And this was a retrospective cross-sectional analysis. We risk-adjusted for patient characteristics, included a number of hospital characteristics, which I'll describe, and calculated occupancy using discharge abstract data. Again, our patient data were the discharge abstracts from the Pennsylvania Healthcare Cost Containment Council, which collects all of the discharge abstracts for patients discharged from Pennsylvania hospitals. I believe at the time in 1999 there were 212, and we merged that with the American Hospital Association's annual survey data for hospital characteristics. Our sample was adults 18 to 85, and just under a million discharge abstracts were included in the analysis. And we limited our study to non-federal adult acute care hospitals. And of our total sample, there were 172 hospitals that fit the bill. Again, the outcome, all-cause in-hospital mortality. We are doing a subsequent analysis. We now have vital statistics data that are linking that have linked these data to death records, so we'll conduct these analysis with 30-day mortality. All right, so the variable of interest was occupancy rate, and one of the issues was there wasn't a kind of centralized way of collecting these data to match it to when the patient was admitted. So ultimately, we had to calculate it in some way. Otherwise, we would have had to go to all of the hospitals and try to get their data, which seemed like an impossible task. So we used a method that others have used, and because we know the discharge and admission date and time, calculated occupancy rate. An occupancy rate is a function of the census at the on the day of admission divided by the peak capacity. And peak capacity was defined as the 95th percentile of the 365 days under analysis, so the 18th highest or most crowded day out of the 365 days for that year. And that allows for outliers. Again, we had risk adjustment. Because we were looking at all-cause mortality, we used a kind of general severity of illness, the Medi-Qual severity of illness classification, included age and sex, and a number of hospital characteristics. We approached this with a logistic regression with a binary outcome of death or not, and used robust procedures to adjust for a correlation at the hospital level, correlation of standard errors. So a little bit about our data. Overall, in 1999, all of our 172 hospitals demonstrated a mean occupancy rate of 0.76, so operating at 76% of capacity on average over the year. But these, this average was higher for hospitals of different characteristics. I don't think anyone would be particularly surprised by these numbers. This is a time series display of our data with individual days for the year of 1999 across the bottom, and the mean occupant or the occupancy count, and each line is a mean for hospital groups. This green line is the mean for large hospitals, which was about 45% of our hospitals. This is the occupancy, mean occupancy for all 172 hospitals, medium-sized hospitals, and small hospitals determined by bed size. What's that? The end trails off because you have to calculate with admission and discharge date, and because the year ends, we lose the people that are admitted and discharged past December 31st. In our analysis, we clip the first and last month, but for display purposes, I wanted to include all the data. We looked at, if you included all the data, how meaningful that would be, and it really only comes out to about 1% because people's lengths of stay really aren't that long that they would be pushed out beyond that that end period. So you can see some fairly consistent fluctuations that are more prominent in the top line, reflecting large hospital size, and they tend to correlate with week and weekend variation. The kind of larger dips, if you map the 1999 calendar, fall nicely onto the holidays for 1999. And just for an example, this is a randomly chosen medium-sized hospital's data on that, mapped on that same graph to give you an idea how an individual hospital might look. Now, our patients, again, a hospitalized sample, 18 to 85, tended to be just a little under 60 years old in 99, just under 5 days length of stay, and a 2.9% in-hospital mortality. The take-home message from our regression demonstrated that for each 10% increase in occupancy rate, there was a 4% increase in risk of all-cause mortality, again, in-hospital. Now, this is with the full model, including all patient characteristics and all hospital characteristics. Our findings are in line with others who have looked at using this approach. For example, Litvak and colleagues looked at adverse event rates, and they found that a 10% increase in occupancy was associated with a 15% increase in adverse event rates, things like falls, decubitus, ulcers, et cetera. So we were kind of felt that our finding was reasonable considering their findings as well. We have, again, extended this to begin to look at 30-day mortality. We're including additional variables that at the time weren't available. For example, nurse staffing. While AHA has nursing data, FTE data about nursing, it's hard to differentiate the number of nurses that are actually part of the hospital's inpatient service versus their outpatient or skilled nursing facility. So there are some measurement issues, but we've begun to merge on some survey data that we have to begin to drill a little bit deeper. We've also done this analysis with a specific patient group, acute myocardial infarction patients, just under 40,000 from this same sample, and found a 6% increase in risk of death. The last thing that I'll say is, again, one of the main problems with this kind of research is the occupancy variable itself, and really kind of attributing its impact to the particular outcome that you're interested in and trying to match it closely. So one of the reasons that we chose to move to AMI was that we thought that that was something that might be more sensitive to because of the kind of golden hour issues and the need to get people into time-sensitive care, that occupancy issues might be more important there. But we're running these data with models that will be able to model not just day of admission occupancy, but day and time occupancy. So we'll be able to get a little bit closer to what is the actual census at the time that the patient was admitted, and give a little bit of, and, you know, kind of spread that out a little bit to make sure that we really understand what the context is and the environment is that a patient's being admitted to, and then how that relates to their outcomes. So I'll end there, and thank you for listening. I don't know, should we take questions at the end, or?
For questions.
Okay.
And I wanted to ask, so did your regression model include the DRG?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't see that, and that would be very important.
Yeah.
Interpreting this finding.
Sure.
Because it's pretty striking.
Right.
And so over what range is this appropriate?
About 40%.
So you're talking about if there are hospitals whose occupancy rate is 60% and ones that are 100%
and some that were over in some ranges, not on average, but some days were over, again, because we allowed for some outliers. So some were above that peak capacity measure.
Right. But, I mean, it would just seem that if you compound this over a few 10%, that you're talking about a difference that I find, frankly, not credible.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, that's very big.
Again, we modeled them in a similar way that others have, we found this effect to be smaller than theirs. But
so I just unpack it a little to try to look at hospitals in different ranges and really see if you can.
Sure. I hear what you're saying. So. And part of that we have, and one of the people have looked at different cutoff levels for hospitals that are considered kind of at risk based on their occupancy level, 90% and above. Again, figuring out what that peak capacity is, people use different definitions of that. But we've done subsample analysis of that, and it shifts the risk upward to the top percentiles, but...
Okay, and another thing that would be very interesting to me is if you could look in large hospitals at differences in their mortalities based on people admitted at higher and lower occupancy, because that would help to get rid of the fear that no matter how well you've risk adjusted,
right,
you really are basically looking at hospitals that have very different functions,
different selection issues. Okay. Great, thank you.
Did you look at...
Sure. About how linear it is. I mean, you know, and that gets at some of the response or question that you made. But if, you know, I mean, is it? I mean, obviously, from 60% to 70% is probably different than
90% to 105%. You're right.
If a person gets admitted when it's a 95% occupancy, at least where I work, is a hell of a lot sicker than the person who gets admitted at 60%.
Person.
Which, so, you know, so you may just, you know, so you're going to naturally have some of those people who are going to be, sicker and not be able to end up more at the
depending time. On what time the occupancy rate at which
so
they were attracted
is,
or based on the hospital characteristic.
When the hospital is very, very full, they're not going to admit people unless they're very, very sick.
Oh, right, okay, exactly. Right, okay.
So that you may have unmeasured severity of illness driving a lot of
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I don't know if that's just interesting.
Right.
Hospital board member, I look at this as in.
Right.
I look at this in the media.
Well, again, one of the ways that we tried to account for some of the patient characteristics were by going to a specific disease group, and with AMI in our risk adjustment model is disease specific. So we have a 45 plus variable model. So again, there may be omitted variable bias there.
So I'd like to move on. Maybe
sure.
We can come back to more questions.
Yeah, by all means.
Later. And I'd like to introduce the next speaker, Renee Wanaka.
Wanaka? Wanaka, yeah.